The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here is your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. And each week we address mid-sized companies. Most of our audience is between 20 million and trying to get to 200 million, but they have a billion in their minds. And we rotate through different growth strategies like geographic expansion and acquisitions and IPOs and things like that. And today we are looking at a combination of going after new markets and product development. And I'll walk through the combination because some companies just grow through product development. Some companies grow through expansion to new markets, and it's a little tricky to try to do both. Before we do that, I want to foreshadow some of the shows that we have coming up. And mention one that was recent that I got some response on that was fun. last week I interviewed some co-CEOs, Bot Ditakavi and Venkat Urabandi of VecSoft Solutions. So if you've never listened to people talk about what it would be like to be co-CEOs, log on to last week's show and listen to these guys. The subtleties of how they answered some questions is the secret of it. Not the direct answers, you know, get past that. Listen to the subtleties of how they word things and how they view each other. This next week, it's broadcast for the first time on the 8th of August, but you know everybody's downloading it on demand and whenever you feel like doing it, but it'll be available after the 8th. I do a solo program on geographic expansion, and I go through from a different perspective. What I did is I thought through the couple dozen large corporate clients that I've worked with over the years. I've been a growth strategist for over 35 years, and I've worked with companies like IBM and GAF and Icon and Time and SBC, and, you know, there's a long list. And there's a lesson that they have. There's the techniques that they have about geographic expansion. And I asked myself, okay, what are some of the processes that they have in place that maybe some of the clients that I've worked with in the 20 to 40 to $50 million range don't seem to have in place yet? So from the perspective of the large corporation, what do you need to do to have your geographic expansion go more smoothly? So I look at things like, how do you make the decisions between which things are centralized, which things are decentralized? How do you even identify your geographic location? Whether or not you do homegrown leadership versus somebody out in the field that's a pathfinder, that kind of stuff. So that turned out to be a pretty good show. I've already pre-recorded it, and I think you'll enjoy that. Most of our shows are live, but that one was pre-recorded. On the 15th of August, Joe Servasio is going to be joining us from Blue Green Resorts. Now, there's a real powerful organization. They're in the timeshare business, and he runs the Blue Green University. And I think you're going to truly enjoy listening to him talk about recruitment, retention, and training. You know, the secret to success in some companies is how do you find and retain those A players. So those are a couple of the upcoming shows. Now, onto the topic of today, I have a guest that's going to be walking us through how they've, you know, grown to the $15 million mark pretty quickly in a field that's very, 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 very competitive. Other than that, they don't have any competition at all, huh? All right, now let's walk through with the pieces that I've seen. What I've noticed is companies can grow to about 10 to 15 million if they just perfect replicating what they developed. In a lot of cases, you'd be surprised how many companies can grow to that size by going to new markets. So here we go. Take a Quiznos submarines. What was their gimmick? What was the handle? They had the heating them up. We didn't just have warm hoagies with them. They knew how to take heat and add to it. And they had some better marketing than some other people, but think about it. It was one hook. And how many stores were they able to open? I don't know what the average size of them is, but a lot of fast food outlets are about $500,000, so I'm just going to guess. I don't know. So you can grow to about $20 million through 40 locations. So what would be the secret? Replicating what you've got, having the quality control be consistent, knowing what the procedures are, knowing exactly how to control costs, getting large lot orders on, you know, the supplies and on the food. Having the software be replicated so you didn't have to constantly pay for the applications engineers to start from scratch. Most companies that are really trying to grow through new products and new markets start with one or the other. When you try to get too fancy and improve and optimize and introduce and brand new and innovate in the product side, at the same time you're trying to expand to brand new markets, most companies get tripped up. It's too expensive. You can't tell where you're leading and you're following. And you get so fancy, nobody can remember what you did, and you're not known for anything yet. So I find most companies that want to have new products to new markets start with either product development or new markets. Now, again, let's go back to what the secrets are to the new markets. It isn't just the replication of your process, because big deal. You know, you could be great at something, and you really know how to do this really well. But if you can't pick the locations that would care about it or the marketplaces that need what you do, and you have a better process than the competition, it isn't going to pay off. So your market research ends up being extremely important. So let's say you're looking at replication, and I had a client that, it's ironic because it's similar to what the guest is going to be talking about. They did travel guides, vacation guides, visitor guides for counties in different areas. And they ended up having this expertise in how do you put together these, you know, little booklets. They started out as little booklets, and they ended up being magazines. But they started out as little booklets. That's the important part. And their expertise was not in just selling and in the printing and the binding and the distribution of these little magazines. It was also in finding the next county that needed what they were doing. You know, by looking at the existing magazine that they had and kind of going, this is terrible. You really need something better. Maybe we should think about, you know, here's what we've done for other people. What do you think? Couldn't this help you? What was interesting as they did this, you know, their marketing person, their research person ended up having a lot of clout with the company. And the other person that ended up having a lot of clout was the sales manager. Because think about what I just said. Their expertise was not just in printing and in pulling together a magazine, you know, a booklet. It became getting the advertisers because the product included sales. It included advertising. So now you've got a competition of who's in charge. Is it the marketing person who goes out there and finds the new location, the new county that needs your little magazine? Is it the production person who knows how to put it all together, do the layouts and the binding and the proofreading and all that and get it to, you know, delivered someplace on time? Or is it the person that's over the call center who's able to sell and bring in the ads? And it was really important for them to recognize that only 2 out of 3 were going to be in the lead. Because if you start having the sales manager feel like they have too much clout, you lose track of what you're selling to the individual counties. You lose track of what's important. Once they resolved that and they remembered that the person who was running the call center was part of production, they weren't leading the business, the whole business, then they were ready for product development and start, you know, improving the product, trying out different things. They got into catalogs. They got into magazines. And they were able to experiment. But I find this happens when a lot of companies are trying to expand to new marketplaces. They try to get too fancy that they never actually get to product development itself. So let's say you're one of those companies that has perfected. You figured out how to find new cities. You figured out how to find new counties or new companies or new countries that need what you do. Our guest today, if I remember right, it's something like 1,100 cities, and he's going to have to, you know, corroborate that for me. Yeah, 1,100 cities. Now, they know how to do this. They know how to find cities and chambers of commerce that need what they do. They got that down. Okay, now, let's overlay the process of product development. Now, you're on a roll knowing how to do the same thing, basically the same thing, again, because that's what you've sold, and you're just dealing with the new people from you know, that you have out in the field. How do you overlay new product development? Now, your salespeople out in the field are going to want new products because, you know, some of their customers demand it. Some salespeople just demand it because they get too bored with the same thing. But you don't want to introduce too much because it's too complicated. How do you finance product development? How do you find the money for that? That's the first question, by the way. I find that if somebody gets into how do we find the right person, how do we introduce the new process, how do we get the new software, they get so ahead of themselves. I actually ask them to figure out how would you have enough money to even try to experiment with new products. find some money. Now, this is where some companies get mixed up. Go back. What did I say was the issue when the example of the company that I dealt with? When their sales manager, when the person over the call center felt like they had too much clout and it was sales-led, and salespeople like variety and flexibility and doing it different each time instead of stability, instead of predictability, instead of replication and cost control in general. Okay. If you ask the salesperson how you should do financing, they're going to turn around and say, get a bigger line of credit. Just get some money in here so we can cover the upfront costs on the product development. And it's the wrong thing to do. It's important if you're going to have your process, your strategy of your business is going to be new markets and new products, not to get into the hole of trying to fund it through lines of credit. It's much more appropriate to have it come from the profitability of your existing process. Make sure you have a reasonable amount of money set aside for product development. It can be just a line item on the budget for R&D. And the second way is loans, because the kinds of money that you're going to need are things for equipment. It's going to be things for a new launch. It will be tangible processes that you're going to need money for, and that's what loans are for. Now, I want you to replay this and think about what I'm saying, because a lot of companies get lost when they try to do product development on lines of credit. All right, so let's say you've figured out how you're going to finance it so that you have, it's almost a self-regulating pacing. How much money do you have? How long is it going to last? And start setting, it presets some deadlines. It says, we're going to have to get this figured out by November. We're going to have to make sure that we have a controllable number of samples instead of trying to make something so big that it sits in your garage. How much research, you know, and it starts setting it on like a critical path, meaning that you have to work backwards from it, and it sets some deadlines. So product development is led by funding. It's set by pacing. It's set by making sure you sustain your research, because otherwise you're going to come up with something you like and nobody else cares about, and really getting good at project management. Now, later on in the show, I'm going to talk about the dilemma of if you're busy working on products and new development and improvements, how do you make sure that you have an infusion of innovation and creativity? Because once you get that process down, you can actually stifle creativity. In summary for the first section so that we can use this, new product process features expertise about markets, expertise about production, cost control, making sure that you're profitable and you can replicate what you've got. Product development overlaid on it starts with funding, project management, pacing, and sustaining the research. Ah, sounds like you went to school this morning. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtain growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
The challenge of change comes as ramped up due to the advent of information age and the interconnectedness of global community. In a high-tech world, the ability to embrace change, adapt, and respond accordingly is key to personal and professional success. Talking Change with Ann Powers, airing every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, explores the hows, whys, and what to do's when faced with change. Embrace the new reality, adopt transition into your personal power portfolio, and tune into Talking Change with Ann Powers every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about growing your business through new markets and new products. And we just went through a whole process of you probably need to pick one or the other to start with to get the rhythm down. And then you overlay. And I've just find, you know, it works either way, you know, that you could be introducing a lot of new products to your existing customers and then overlay new markets. But boy, if you try to do new to new right away, companies get screwed up. And I see that a lot of companies can grow to about 20 million just doing one or the other. And then they've got to make sure that they can overlap the two processes. Now, we've got a guest today, Joe Nagar. You there, Joe?
Hi, Aldana. This is Joe.
Hello. Now, you're the executive VP of something called Village Profiles.
Yes, villageprofile.com, Chamber of Commerce publisher.
I was just going to say, now, tell us a little bit about what the company is, and then we'll do some of the history of how you created it.
Well, Village Profile basically is a traditional publisher of books and maps, membership directories, atlases for the Chamber of Commerce industry. Mm-hmm. And we also address the visitor convention bureaus and economic development corporations across the United States.
So I think our listeners are going to want to hear your journey, because not everybody that's done what you're doing, because, you know, there are folks doing that, have 1,100 cities.
Yeah.
And they don't grow to 15 million, so you guys have figured something out.
Well, so the internet was the biggest part of it.
Okay, well, let's do your journey, okay? So it's okay. You and your brother, correct?
Yes.
All right, and it started in 1988?
1988 we started.
Now, what were you doing before that?
Well, I was a specifications engineer for the Chicago Park District.
That's cool.
About 20 years I was writing contract documents.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was Dan doing?
Dan was working in the newspaper industry for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he owned his own ad agency.
Oh, so you got great background, complimentary background to do this.
I do.
What was it that the two of you wanted to go into business together all along, or just what?
Well, Dan basically was repping for a builder magazine back in 1986.
Builder Profile?
No, actually it was a different publication, Builder Architect, that was based out of Phoenix.
Okay.
And he was the ad agency in the Chicagoland area that basically addressed all the Chicagoland industry, but he could not put articles in there the way he wanted around the local aspect of the industry. So we decided to start our own publication called Builder Profile.
You saw the need.
Yes.
You saw that hole and you went for it.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so how big was the business early on?
Well, you know, basically, it was very small. It was just him and I doing all the work.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing all the design, all the ads. I was doing the marketing, calling up the builders.
I can picture this.
Yeah, and we were working out of the basement of his house.
Yeah, and how long did that phase go?
That went for about 3 years.
Okay.
And we evolved into several other publications related in the residential building industry.
So it started out as Builder Profile. That's where I got that phrase. That was the name of your initial publication?
Yes, Aldana.
Cool.
And we joined seven home builder associations in the Chicagoland area, and instead of the builder associations addressing their membership through newsletters, we took the membership and mailed them one magazine and made it like an umbrella magazine.
Oh, and then they feel like they're so special. It's so much better than just a newsletter.
And we accepted the PR from all the associations, and it was very very successful.
So now how did the journey go from the building construction industry to chambers? How did that happen?
Well, we went we published several other publications in the home building industry, and I knew the my brother actually lived in Bloomingdale, Illinois, and knew the mayor of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor of the community basically asked Dan if Dan Nagar is my brother,
right.
who's the CEO. And basically Dan told Sam, the mayor, yeah, we can do a publication for your community. And it was a municipal-orientated publication
mm-hmm.
all about, you know, faith community, residential, recreation, the business climate. And that's how we started.
I would imagine that project, because it was different from what you'd been doing for the building community.
Yes.
And it was a different location.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a different project. You had to work really hard on that. Did you lose your shirt, or did you make some money on it?
No, we broke even pretty
much. That's it. Aha, I knew.
You know, it's all about controlled circulation.
I would, but it'd also be very difficult to do. That's what I was talking about in the first part of the show, is that
yeah.
that was a new. That was a new product,
yes.
new location, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is very tough to make money on that first one you do with that.
Yes, it is, Aldana. Mm-hmm. Basically, we parlayed on the building industry, the residential building industry, and the advertisers found merit in the Bloomingdale area, Illinois, because it was a fast growth area for housing.
Yep.
So that kind of helped us quite a bit with the advertising from our other publication.
Now, did that make you want to go after other municipalities?
Oh, yes. We went into about 10, 12 different municipalities in the first year.
Okay.
They loved the publications because they're beautiful four-color format.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
you went after some big accounts.
Yeah, we did all the big, exactly.
So now what size was the business at that point?
$500,000.
Okay, so it's pretty small still.
Pretty small, yeah.
Okay, and at that point, you know, what was the biggest problem?
Biggest problem was basically, we didn't have any problems, to tell you the truth. Seriously.
You kept busy and you brought in accounts and you did the work.
You know, my brother had the background at the ad agency in doing publications,
yeah.
so that was his forte.
Yeah.
And I had connections with the building industry, being a spec writer, knew a lot of builders in that, so
yep.
that was my forte. We blended them together, and back then it was all paste.
Yeah.
You know, paste and no computers back then putting publications together. It was
so what has driven the – I mean, now you've got 130 employees and 15 million and 1,100 cities. Something happened. What happened between that $500,000 period of time and now? Walk us through the journey.
Basically, a couple of chamber publishing companies went belly up in the industry, and we acquired some of their acquisitioners. And luckily, Chicagoland market was a very hot market.
Yeah.
We realized early on that Chamber of Commerce industry is regulated by non-dues profits.
Yep.
You know, it's a municipality.
That's hard to do it on dues.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So we started switching our publications to the Chamber of Commerce industry.
That's a big decision.
It was, and it paid
mm-hmm.
off handsomely.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of chambers liked what we were doing with the municipal publication,
mm-hmm.
and it just followed suit. So we signed up quite a few contracts and kept working on it.
See, now that's one of the reasons I said in the opening that I find companies start to really grow when they choose one or the other, and you did that. You actually did that.
Yes.
After you've gotten, you know, some real play with Sam Denuto's, you know, book, you went after new markets. What you said was, okay, Chambers of Commerce is it, and you went, you know, click, click, let's just go get those, and replicated what you knew how to do. And there, the variety certainly would be there from, you know, the content that was different from city to city.
Yeah.
But your process wouldn't have been different. You know, your publication process is the same, you know, how many colors it is, and you'd get to the point where you'd know how many pages is optimum, and all that stuff got standardized, didn't it?
Well, in those days, we had a staff of about 6 or 8 people.
Right.
And we were doing 4 different publications. One was Builder Profile.
Mm-hmm.
One was Suburban Lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were doing the Chamber of Commerce publications and,
yep.
and continued doing the municipal publications.
But my point is you got some routine to it, too.
Oh, yes,
each of the publications would look unique to the customer, but you guys would have a rhythm to what you were doing.
Well, it's all about, you know, different photographic content.
right. Yeah. You know, so it looks new to you and, you know, us and the public, but
yes.
to you guys it feels like, we know how to do this. This is step 24 in a, you know, process.
Yes, and it was, you know, it wasn't large. It was not a large company at the
mm-hmm.
time, so we pushed.
So when did you start making the shift, and, you know, what drove the growth to the size it's now?
Well, basically in 1993 and 94, we took a leap of faith. Dan, my brother Dan, decided to get involved with the Internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chambers of Commerce and the entire world really did not know what the Internet was at that time.
They were pretty reluctant back then.
Yeah, they heard about it.
Yeah.
It was something, you know, that they heard but didn't
use. Yeah, but we have a contact sport. We like networking. We're not going to be doing things online. I could just hear it.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. So, you know, we got together and started making appointments. We reproduced our books and maps and put them online, basically.
Wow.
All the editorial and pictorial content of these publications were reproduced online. And basically, we told the Chambers, this is our gift back to you for allowing us to publish.
That was gutsy.
Your books, you know, and they loved it because they had no inkling of what the Internet was. They had no presence.
Mm-hmm.
And in Illinois, Wisconsin, and Indiana, we started making just dozens and dozens of appointments, you know, pushing this new concept of reproduction of their books and maps online.
See, that was your shift to introducing product development.
That was our
paradigm, in addition to expansion to new markets. See,
yes.
And how did you figure out, how long did it take you to figure out the online side?
Well,
the electronic side.
Dan was thinking about it for about a year, and
yeah.
We had another company that was actually assisting us in putting it online, but in the last 5 years, we've been doing everything in-house.
Sure.
Back in the early days, we were lucky to find compatible phone lines that would allow
the modems. I can remember that.
It would take 10 minutes to get your Internet link.
Oh, do you remember that in the dial-up days? And then there'd be these zones that didn't have any cable. And
yeah. But before you knew it, we had about 100, 150 Chambers online before they had their own Internet site in their own offices.
Now, some of what you're talking about would have led to some decisions about royalties or pricing. How'd you handle that?
Well, that's a standard in the chamber industry that the Chambers receive 10% royalty for all the publications that
right.
are produced
okay.
for them.
Okay.
So that's pretty much standard.
Mm-hmm.
And we just dealt with it. You know, it's 10%. We have to figure out our overhead and everything else, and hopefully there's a profit at the end.
Yeah, you just got to make sure your methods are tight enough and there's a value added to what you're doing so they choose you.
You got it.
It's not going to be your price that gets them to buy you, right?
No.
Now, as you evolved, like now, what's the mix of electronic versus in print?
Well, I would say 90% is print right now. 10% is electronic.
Okay.
Strictly electronic. Mm-hmm. But right now we bundle all of our programs, meaning they get the electronic along with the traditional print.
Gosh, I would have guessed it'd be 50-50.
Yeah.
Well, we're at a break. I got music singing to me, so I got to take a break. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about growing your business through a combination of new markets and new products, which is very difficult to do, folks. Don't underestimate it. And today our guest is Joe Nagara, who's the Executive Vice President of Village Profile. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Don.
Now, in our last segment, we did a little bit of the history, but I think you have an outline. Is there some other piece, like key development in the business over the years that we didn't say?
Yes. Basically, Aldana, you were correct, in asking me about the percentage between electronic and print.
I kind of wondered.
It's actually 50-50 now because we bundle all our products.
Yeah.
Early on, we tried to sell them separately, and it didn't work very well, so bundling is the name of the game. If someone buys an ad, they automatically get all the electronic aspects of the publication as well.
Boy, they want that now.
Yep.
See, now that's a good example of that journey of product development where at first, you know, you look at the funding and the pacing and the project management and you think, okay, let's sell them separately.
Yeah.
And then you track it and you discover, you know, the dissonance where somebody says, no, that's not how I want to buy it. And you got to listen and change what you're doing and bundle it. And some salespeople may or may not like that, but if it's going to make you money and if it works better for most people, that's really the direction you go. Yeah. Was there anything else in the history that
you thought
was significant?
Yeah, back in 1995 when Village Profile, you know, converted the traditional print publications we were doing into websites, it became the early catalyst for moving the entire chamber of publishing industry into the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 2002, Village Profile raised the bar in the industry by introducing e-books. And again in 2003 with the introduction of what we call the Exclusive Convergence Publishing Program.
And that sounds cool.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, now there's where you can help me. In the product development side of it, let's pick the e-books, for example.
Yes.
How did that come up? Who worked on that? How long did it take?
Basically, it was really a no-brainer because e-books were being sold across the Internet. Amazon.
Well, you could tell you needed to look into it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, we saw what was being produced in the industry,
mm-hmm.
and we basically just converted our publications, print publications, into e-books as well,
mm-hmm.
and gave them away.
You know, the funny thing about that, the way you said it, you know, you make it sound terribly easy,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes, if a product is so obvious in the marketplace that you're going to look dumb for not having it,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to agonize with analysis paralysis.
It was, it's all about reinventing and what could we add to the industry that was not there now.
Yep.
Early on, we decided to go strictly for color print,
mm-hmm.
when the maps and books were in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just natural to go into the e-books.
Yeah. And so that's something, in some ways you did that for marketing purposes, not even just product development.
Yes.
Right? If it's a giveaway.
Absolutely.
It was to draw them to the site, right?
It's all about what's in it for me. The Chamber of Commerce advertisers, if you give them an ad, you give them an e-book, you give them this, you give them that, they're getting greater value for buying the purchase of their ad.
Yeah.
You know, early on, chambers were founded on the premise of bringing smaller businesses together in a kind of co-op for greater purchasing power.
Right.
And a unified business voice. And, at Village Profile, as a company, through the website and the conferences that we sponsor around the country, through our corporate sponsorships with national and regional chamber associations, we bring the chambers together in much the same way.
So you become a real fan of chambers.
Absolutely.
I should probably tell the people who are listening how I found you, because I didn't find you, right?
Yes.
Chris Mead of the American,
American Chamber of Commerce,
Chamber of Commerce Executives Association,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Chris is a hoot. I get such a kick out of him.
He's a great individual.
He's got a great sense of humor, too.
Yes, he does.
So he knew, because you're one of their major vendors, are you not?
Yes, we are, Donna. We, mm-hmm. Village Profile actually sponsors about 80 conferences across the United States.
Good for you.
Let's say the Illinois State Chamber of Commerce executives.
Mm-hmm.
They have an annual conference. It's biannual. Well, we try to sponsor as much as we can.
Well, someday you'll bring me in as a speaker at one of your conferences.
That'd
I've done an awful lot of chamber conferences, and I facilitated strategic planning for chambers, and you and I sound like chamber junkies when we talk.
Well, I'm telling you, it's a great industry.
Awesome.
We've dropped all of our other publications, and we concentrate only on the chamber industry.
That, I mean, that, see, that right there is a big decision.
Well, there's 6,500 chambers across the United States.
Yeah, well,
so
you're niching. That's what you're doing.
That's absolutely right.
All right, now I want to ask, what's that other product that you said?
Well, yeah, it's a really dynamic component of our publishing concern. It's called the Convergence Publishing Program. It provides wireless access to chamber members' directories via web-enabled cell phones, smartphones, PDAs, and other wireless devices. And this is all part of the bundling. When an advertiser buys an ad, he gets all of this, not as a freebie, but, you know, as part of his program.
Okay, now back up. Maybe that's the one that what I'm looking for is, how do you guys manage your product development? Because you've got a lot of things you could do.
Yes.
But, and you got to turn down some of them because they won't make money, or they're too complicated, or nobody wants it. And then you picked that. So tell me about that process.
It's all about communications. The Chamber of Commerce industry is all about networking.
Okay.
And we have developed these programs strictly for the chamber members to communicate within their organizations. We're lucky to have such a great staff of young professionals. We have several universities in the area here, and we tap into them.
Mm-hmm.
When they're fresh out of school, they come on board with us. They have so many ideas that it's not really hard to,
actually, that's the challenge, because sometimes there's too many ideas.
Yep.
I think the sorting through of which one's worth develop, spending the time,
yes,
to, really perfect it into a product and offer it, and how you're going to price it, and who's going to want it, and do you bundle it or do you make it separate? That doesn't just happen.
Exactly.
So who drives that process in your company?
My brother Dan.
Okay. So yeah, he's really good at this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's a genius extraordinaire.
So now how long, at some point we should interview Dan, too. How long does that process take from the time that some individual says, wireless is out there, to you having a product like that bundled in? Do you remember?
Well, basically about 6 months.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all, because
no,
that's all they concentrate in. It's our IT staff.
Yeah.
They're not, none of our people are just content in doing business the way it's been done for decades.
I have found that the people who are good at product development are the ones that are never satisfied.
We have so many ideas, yep, on the table, Eldon. You wouldn't believe it.
Well, you know what I find happens, and maybe, Dan could confirm this for us. I find those companies have a criteria for the, go, no-go decisions that they've spelled out.
Yes.
So, if for example, in your case, if less than 50% of the cities that you work with now wouldn't be interested in it, then it probably is not a good idea. Or if, only the big company's members would be able to use it, then that might not be a good idea. Or if it looks so expensive for you to develop that it's going to distract from your core product, that you wouldn't do it. There's usually a set of criteria for yes or no, somewhere behind the scenes.
Yes, the chamber commerce industry, basically, it's the executive directors and the chambers that are our clients.
Right.
Okay, and they love technology lately because their board of directors demand new things.
Yep.
They don't want the chamber, the chambers just be apathetic, the membership be apathetic with what's going on.
And you don't want your chamber you don't want your chamber to look old-fashioned.
Exactly. Everyone wants to be on the cutting edge.
So now, do you do a test run or survey some of your members and,
yes,
ask them? Okay.
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, Chicagoland, several years ago, we went to the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, and we had a partnership with Joe Balassa, the CFO.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a 3,500 membership through the Chicagoland Chamber. And
that's a good size.
Yeah, yeah. And, Jack Welch, mm-hmm, him, he once said, when the rate of change outside exceeds the rate of change inside a company, the end is near.
Oh, yeah.
And at the chamber in Chicago, they wanted to publish a digital publication only,
yep,
a wireless publication.
Well, if they wouldn't
they
want
wanted
it, who would?
To dispense with the print.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke to Joe and says, Joe, there's still a lot of board members and people in the United States that love that touchy-feely print,
Mm-hmm.
So we talked them into doing both together.
That was smart.
Yeah.
Because then they kept going forward, but they didn't leave other people behind.
Yeah, and the Naperville Chamber of Commerce is on the cutting edge as well.
Yep.
Naperville and Chicago are the two largest chambers that we work with. And
what would you say is your biggest challenge now? Because it's not all that easy. You're making it sound like this is just easy, and you just keep on going.
Well, okay,
come on now. Tell us what it's really like.
It's a lot of hard work inside, but once we actually address it to the chamber industry,
yeah,
it's up to them. Either they stay on the cutting edge with the other chambers in the industry, or they fall by the wayside.
Yes.
You know, and that's
I would buy from you. I would buy from you. You're pretty convincing.
Well, you know, my job is fairly easy.
You sound like it. You're impressed with what your brother does. You're impressed with the product. You believe in Chambers of Commerce. You fit the process. It's nice that you like your job.
And it's all about duplication.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you test it with the large chambers. They accept it.
Yep.
It works for them. The advertisers and the chamber publications are all repeat advertisers.
Yep.
It's working for them.
And so the listeners who might be thinking about a niche marketplace that has a lot of, you know, possible customers, one of the things that they need to hear from you is what you just said, of test it out from the leaders.
Yep.
You tweak it, you know, to get the bugs out, because the followers in that industry are going to want it. They're going to want it. What I want to be interested in, and I want you to think about, you oversee 75 salespeople, don't you?
Yes, they do.
I want you to think about, you know, what's that like? How hard is that? What's the challenges there? I mean, I'm not looking for anything negative about an individual, but that is not easy. So what are some ways you do that?
They have stamina, and they have to be receptive to the new industry. They have to promote our programs. My job here at Village Profile is basically to get the word out through the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have promotions, tons of promotions that I feed to the industry.
Okay.
And hopefully they're looking at them. You know, they're looking at them. And when it's a acquisition, we have 12 acquisitioners around the United States.
It's interesting they're called acquisitioners instead of salespeople.
Right. Well, there's two different sets of people.
Oh, okay.
The acquisitioners actually go to the chambers and sign up the, you know, the program. The
contracts. I get you. All right.
And
okay.
The salespeople go in and sell the program.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about, you know, the difference in, you know, the combination of your marketing and your sales.
Yes.
When we get back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
The challenge of change comes as ramped up due to the advent of information age and the interconnectedness of global community. In a high-tech world, the ability to embrace change, adapt, and respond accordingly is key to personal and professional success. Talking Change with Ann Powers, airing every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, explores the hows, whys, and what to do's when faced with change. Embrace the new reality. Adopt transition into your personal power portfolio and tune into Talking Change with Ann Powers every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Right here on the Bottom Line Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. And today we're talking about growing your business through a combination of new product development and going after new markets. And our guest is Joe Nagara of Village Profiles. And is it .com or just Village Profiles?
VillageProfile.com.
Okay.
Yes.
And one of the questions I have of you, Joe, is as you went into new markets, you go into new chambers of commerce, most people who are going after new markets, they have that question of how much are we going to bring the outsiders, you know, like you guys, into the town versus rely on a local person?
Right.
How do you figure that out? What do you do?
Well, you know, some chambers still utilize their local newspapers to produce their books and maps. But
okay.
There's a conflict of interest there, basically, because, you know, have advertisers for the newspaper, and then there is a non-revenue-seeking generation of funds for the chamber.
And so that's pretty universal across the country so that you find there's a value to bringing the outsider in?
Absolutely.
You okay.
Know, we probably have about 90, not we, but the chamber publishers have about 95% of the industry, strict chamber publishers, and then 5% are done by the local newspapers.
Okay.
But what the newspapers can't deliver is new technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the
Well, they have other things they're focused
members.
On.
Yeah,
they have other things they're focused on, so they don't get to it.
Yeah, like one of our newest product lines, Aldana, is our mobile map program.
And what's that do?
Mobile map program. Basically, we introduced it in 2006, and it provides wireless access to mobile business directories of participating advertisers made accessible via the wireless devices that are on the market today.
That's good. So, I mean, the members are getting lots of extra stuff through you guys.
Yeah. You know,
that's pretty cool.
Basically, it's given advertisers added value for their investment with wireless links to their websites,
mm-hmm.
the business locator maps that we have.
Yep.
And it's also accessible through real-time direct dialing via cell phones and smartphones. You know, I invite all you people on listening to this program to look at villageprofile.com.
I was just, you know, the funny thing is in this segment I always do that. I say, tell me how the listeners can contact you.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of you are on board of directors of the Chambers of Commerce
mm-hmm.
across the United States. And, you know, suggest to your executive directors, look at this alternative.
Yeah.
It's all about technology and what you can do for your members, what you
yeah.
can give them.
It's about how you make the money.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, you know, anything that can bring them new customers and end up having a little more money at the end of all that hard work.
And I'm glad you said that about more money, because all
yeah.
of these programs basically generate more non-dues revenue
right.
for the chambers that we do business with.
Now, let me go back to, like, how you guys run the business, because
yes.
one of the things I want to make sure that the listeners hear is I think yours and Dan's attitude helps you, because, you know, if you make it sound like this is doable, this is easy, it's a no-brainer, this is what our customers want, let's just do this, I think that makes some of the process move better. You know, if you're a worrier or if you're a fretter or if you, you know, didn't care about the customers, I don't think it would have gone as well.
It's all about what we can give back to our customers.
Yeah.
We want to give added value. We want to give, you know, technology.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give things to the chamber industry that have not been introduced before, and we've been successful in doing that. My brother Dan has just come up with tremendous ideas.
Yeah. And, I want to meet him because he sounds like he's bright, too.
He's really
now, one
cool.
of the things I can pick up is that there's a good fit between your philosophy that you just said and the niche market that you chose.
Yes.
Because chambers would value that, and they would be looking at it. And there's some marketplaces that if they heard, you know, the generous spirit, they'd kind of be suspect and go, ah, come on. You know, it's a transaction. Give me the product. Go away.
Yes.
And you don't have that problem with chambers.
You know, back when we were in the early days of this, Aldana, when we started to get on the Internet,
yeah.
competitors, the other chamber publishers that we were meeting at the chamber conferences were scoffing at us, saying, why are you getting involved in the Internet?
Oh,
you know,
I bet. I
back
bet
in 95,
yeah.
we're all about print.
Yep.
You know, then they picked up a little bit on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went into the digital aspects of our mm-hmm. publications, and wireless communications. They can't catch up to us. You know, they don't even try.
One of the secrets to your success, too, is that you've been invested in. You're going to keep going because by the time the other guys copy you, you're already on to the next thing.
Yeah.
You don't worry about what they're copying you because you're trying the next thing, right?
Yeah, we have trademarks on all of our publications and all the technology, too.
Cool. So, now, go back to that question about the salespeople, because sometimes coordinating a sales force over, you know, 1,100 chamber members, et cetera, that doesn't sound easy.
Well, our acquisition is basically we'll knock on the door of the chamber. And hopefully the chamber executive has seen my promo, and they're, you know, a little bit interested in what we have to offer, and the acquisitioner basically tells them about the program, pontificates on it, lets them try to make them understand.
Yes.
And if they see a value in it, you know, God bless them, we'll get them together and get online with the other 1,100 chambers that we do business with across the United States.
Now, is there an optimum size for a chamber that's really kind of ready for you?
Well, we try to actually focus in on chambers that are about 250, 300 members on up.
Yes. I had a feeling, because the real little ones aren't going to have the wherewithal to get this moving.
Well, you know, and
there
are exceptions to that. Up in Wisconsin, there was a chamber of 59 members that had a very progressive community, and we sold 57 ads on a map. We sold a map out out of 59 members.
Okay.
So it was a very successful project.
Well, you were creative and did something that was at their scale.
Yeah.
You know, but for the types of stuff you're talking about, you know, the little chambers, they don't have enough staff to get the momentum. So the point of this is, translating it again to the listeners, one of the key things when you're talking about new marketplaces is, can you get a profile of the optimum sweet spot for you for the core products that you can do? Because if you're trying to do everything for everybody, you can get tripped up.
Well, our convergence program, which is the electronic aspect of it, we like to focus in on 500 chamber members and larger.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Because they have a full-time executive and maybe some other staff. And
they're, actually, they don't do a thing. They don't do a thing. We do everything in-house. It's totally turnkey.
No, but it helps with the decision-making and, you know, the review and the research about, you know, the options, because the board members and the volunteers, they don't have the time to do that kind of consideration. You know, someone like myself, we're dependent on the executive director, the president of the chamber, to be sorting that through and making a recommendation to us that, you know, we should go with Village Profile because X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my hat is off to the chamber executive. You wear so many hats.
Oh, it's amazing what they do.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And if we could help them out any way, shape, or form to promote their chambers, that's what we're all about.
Yeah.
It's all about reinventing and giving the chamber exec more to work with.
A couple of the ones that I deal with, because I'm on the executive committee for the New Jersey Chamber of Commerce, and I'm sitting next to the, you know, CEOs of the big companies, J&Js and the Horizon Blue Cross and the PSE&Gs and AT&Ts and all these initial companies.
Isn't it neat?
Yeah, it's unique for, you know, my company is not an AT&T. I mean, we're not huge. But for me to be a female from a smaller business, and in our case from South Jersey, you know, I have three unique things here. And so it's a good experience for me, and I can contribute different perspectives. And I look at the pressure on an executive of an organization like that. They need to bring value added to these large corporations in an economic development viewpoint at a big, big, big scale.
Yes.
In the meantime, you know, you have hundreds of small business clients, you know, members, and if you don't have something tangible for them, you miss the boat.
Well, there are a lot of progressive ladies out there in the chamber industry now, a lot of executive directors that are women, and I think there's more than there are men nowadays.
I think so. I don't know when it switched, but it switched.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, I think you've been a marvelous guest. How about you repeat your contact information, because I have a feeling that some chambers are going to approach you. What do you think?
Well, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, you were nervous, but you did great. All right,
well,
now give
Village,
me contact information again.
Please, villageprofile.com on the Internet, and you'll see all the information about what we do, all our product line and our philosophies. And if anyone wants to call me direct, my number is at 847-760-9720.
And my contact information is www.thegrowthstrategist.com, and the toll-free number is 1-888-ALDONNA, A-L-D-O-N-N-A. And to wrap up what we're talking about today, let's go back to the first segment. As your company is growing, you're going to discover early on that you need to choose between product development and new markets. Typically, it's new markets, in which case you get replication, cost control, profitability down first. Then you can overlay new product development and get real good at managing innovation, managing project management, managing your criteria for your product decisions, and get the momentum so that other people who are competing with you can't keep up, like the people at Village Profile. My wish for you, as always, is accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into the Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of the Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.